Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Hello, this is episode 127 of The Philosophy Show. My name's Thomas, your host. You're tuning in to The Philosophy Show. Today's episode is titled, Do You Suffer from Stockholm Syndrome? It's Wednesday night, Thursday morning, 12:30 a.m. The show is on the same time for the last while. Every Wednesday night, it's Thursday morning. It's a half an hour show, a call-in show. If you'd like to call in and share an idea or whatever else, the guest call-in number is area code 646-929-1344-1344. 646-929-1344. And I was thinking about Stockholm Syndrome, and so here's the Wikipedia write-up on it. Stockholm Syndrome, or capture bonding, is a psychological phenomenon described in 1973 in which hostages express empathy and sympathy and have positive feelings toward their captors, sometimes to the point of defending and identifying with the captors. Now, that's just a definition. It's something that was unique. They called it, named a syndrome after it. And there you go. I mean, it's... Now, let's think about this. Do you suffer from Stockholm Syndrome, or maybe someone you know? Are you beholden to anyone? Do you ask permission? I mean, are you a hostage, in other words? And so I guess that's even a deeper, more fundamental question, right? Are you free, or are you under control? Not by yourself, but by society, or by food, or by other things you might be addicted to or have in your life, governments. I mean, are you allowed to just go out and homestead on land that no one's using? Or are there permits and fees and stuff like that you have to do? And are there consequences that are anything but positive that are going to be enforced? And so we have a political system where you vote for people to represent you. And we have a political system where there's lots of polls. And it shows the people are woken up. But everything that the people want is not happening. So I would say it's somewhat of a hostage situation. I mean, we have a democratic government that's supposed to reflect the wishes of the people. And these are not like impulse ideas. These are ideas that have been around for a while. And not all the time is the majority is assumed to be always correct. That's why we had due process in different branches of government. But there's no one even hardly, except on the fringes, arguing for the positions that people care about. For example, most people, according to Gallup polls and some other polls, think the minimum wage should be increased, and So we have a caller calling in, and just give me about 2 more minutes, and then we'll bring you online. And so just let me wrap up on this Stockholm Syndrome scenario, and be glad to bring you online here. And so, you know, I was also thinking about people who voted for Jeb Bush maybe in the primaries, people who support Hillary Clinton, and, you know, I think people feel bad about what happens, the people that do support her, about how the president, Bill Clinton, had cheated on her. And, you know, so people felt bad. They elected her to the Senate in New York. And now it's just part of that, you know, she got dogged and people are loyal to her and they want to see her in. Now, I'm not saying that's right or that's her agenda. She reminds me of someone more shrewd than, like, Jerry Maguire, you know, from that Tom Cruise movie. But all right, so let's bring on, see what I guess has to say. And so welcome to the Philosophy Show. You're online here, and
hey.
Please introduce yourself, and how's it going tonight?
Okay, I'm Joe. I've called in before.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, it's been a while. I do remember you. How are you doing?
How
are
you doing? Okay. Have you given any specific examples of what you mean by the Stockholm Syndrome?
Well, I was just starting to talk about people who vote for establishment or representatives that don't agree with their wants and needs.
Well, the Stockholm Syndrome is the condition in which people have undergone some sort of stress at the hands of some sort of either torturer, captor, oppressor, and as a result, they've switched their mindsets around from that of a victim to that from that of being a captured person to somebody who agrees with the mindset of their captors. So how does that apply to Hillary supporters?
Well, and not just Hillary supporters specifically. It could also apply to any establishment supporters, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, anyone in the mainstream media that would be willing to let a day go by where you have your fellow neighbors that are in prison, in private prisons, using your tax, so they're using your labor, your tax dollars, to put your fellow neighbors in prison for doing nonviolent crimes like smoking cannabis or just trying to get medicine for their kids who might have epilepsy or something like that, where they force them to move to Colorado or Washington or split up families, so they actually have people in jail. And so there are people being held hostage, you know, we're being held hostage, you could say, from, you know, just the closed-mindedness of what we're able to accomplish, where we have, you know, I think it was Dwight D. Eisenhower said, he said something according to a line of, like, every time there's a, every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in a final sense, a death from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. So,
well,
I mean, and people still support the system. I mean, they think Hillary's the best chance. They think Rubio and Cruz and Jeb Bush are the best chance. And so they're empathizing with the people who are holding them hostage and even supporting them and even pretending that they're part of this system.
Well, let me give you my take on it, how I would relate my particular perception of what you're saying to the Stockholm Syndrome. I happen to believe that most of us have been or are brainwashed through the public school system and the private school system to follow the dictates of what government says is right and wrong, when in reality government just wants us to be controlled by them. And here we are thinking that the government is our friend and we go along with what the government says, so we keep electing the same scumbags to office, even though over time they have proven not to be working for our benefit. So the brainwashing is something that I would compare to the Stockholm Syndrome. Would that be something that you would think would be a similarity?
Yeah, I do think that would be in the realm of everything we're talking about. Re-education, I mean, I guess, you know, I wonder if there is some re-education going on or some manipulation, you know, going on in the real Stockholm, you know, what the syndrome was named after. And there probably was. I bet that would definitely apply. And in, do you think that continues on past school, like through the media?
Oh, of course,
as
yeah.
Well?
Sure. When we're in school, we're standing up every day and we're putting our hands over our hearts, we're pledging allegiance to the flag, which in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with it. But when people have the attitude, it's, you know, it's my country, love it or leave it, and if you don't like what the government is saying, and if you can't get on board with supporting the wars over there in the Middle East or all around the world, even though these countries are not a threat to us, have never been a threat to us, will never be a threat to us, then you're an idiot. And that's the result of brainwashing, which is what happened during that crisis over there in Stockholm, when I think it was bank robbers had kept some people hostage for a while, and the hostages started identifying with the
Greece.
Not with the police, they with the robbers. They identified with the bank robbers. So that's the problem and the effect of brainwashing. They're telling us what to believe, even though it's against our own best interests. So what you're talking about are people who are voting in these scumbags, even though they're against, you know, the population's best interests. So I think it's a Stockholm Syndrome that we're all under.
Well, I think the thing is, the people that are voting for Jeb Bush, they somehow feel like, you know, they know Barbara, they know the older Bush, they feel... The original reason why George W. Bush, I think, in a psychological way, was the first George W. Bush, you know, his son, why he was elected is because people felt really bad that his dad was a one-term president, and then they had Bill Clinton after that, and then they thought, you know, he said no new taxes, but he cut some the budget a little bit, and you know so there was a recession, and then they felt bad, and they thought he had a good name, and they identified with George W. Bush. He thought he was a good person, and they also didn't like that Saddam Hussein tried to murder the first George W. Bush, and I mean the first George Senior Bush, and so you know at first there was that kind of empathy. And I think, you know, after Bill Clinton had that Monica Lewinsky thing, I think people felt really bad for Hillary. She stood strong. She forgave him. She didn't cause, like, a crisis or anything. She was elected to Senator of New York, and I think that's why they elected her, partly. I mean, and I think people feel like this is, like, their person that they're invested in, almost like a sports game or something, like people that like Princess Diana and stuff like that. I mean, it's like they... identify with her, feel bad for her. When she cries, they cry. I mean, like that time she cried in New Hampshire, like 4 years ago or 8 years ago, pretending she was crying. I mean, and you know, either Trump or Bernie Sanders or someone outside the mainstream would probably, and the Republicans are supporting Trump. I think on the Democrat side, you know, Bernie Sanders is getting momentum, but I think a lot of people don't think it's his time. They think Hillary deserves it. And, you know, I mean, I wish we had, like, someone totally independent, but I think Trump or Sanders would be better than Hillary or Bush. I don't even want her to have a chance to be in the White House. I mean, I don't know. She kind of scares me.
Yeah, I don't want her, and I don't want Trump either. I mean, Trump is making a big splash, but he's a showman. He's one of his heroes is Barnum and Bailey. So he's a showman. He's a person who knows how to get attention through the media, but he would make a lousy president. So would Sanders. Nobody except Rand Paul, in my opinion, would make a good president.
Yeah, I was hoping for Rand Paul for a while there, and I think, you know, his problem was he should have just, at the very get-go, I mean, Trump just took, derailed him. That's what happened. He should have, you know, just stayed cool and not be afraid to go after Trump and not be afraid to be a libertarian right from the get-go. So.
Yeah, but take a look at what these people have to do in order to get the people to vote for them. Now, that by itself is a statement on the stupidity of the American people. These people have to go from state to state to state, shake hands, kiss ugly, smelly babies, smile at people they would never even want to associate with in order to get a vote.
Well, someone said that, you know, if you could get the perfect libertarian, if you could get someone that looked just like Mitt Romney but actually had the ideas of Ron Paul or something.
But even then they wouldn't vote for him. You know, the point I was trying to make was that if we were intelligent people, all we would do would be to go to a website and review the policies and the mindsets and the philosophies of the people who are running for office. But no, we have to be entertained. We have to go to a convention where there are big, large red balloons floating up in the air in order for us to feel good about somebody. How many people do you know that, you know, don't know squat about a politician, but when they meet them, they go, "Oh, I met him. He was such a nice guy. Oh, he'd make a great president." How stupid do you have to be in order to meet somebody for 5 minutes and then automatically put your life in this asshole's hands?
You know what? I bet some of the people that, like, they do catch in the media asking the president questions and stuff, some of them probably are actors and actresses and stuff like that. I mean, some of them do, like, you know, you have to really wonder how stupid people can be, and maybe they are just actors or actresses, or they're just, you know, really...
No, we're stupid. We're a stupid population. No, I mean, the fact that they have to go around and press the flesh in order to get a vote means the people are wanting the candidates to put on a show. Why would I want somebody to put on a show? What I want is somebody who's got a logical head on their shoulders, a good emotional state, is thinking of the Constitution, is thinking of doing what's best for America, somebody who can make good decisions. How am I going to get that just out of a debate or by shaking somebody's hands or going to a convention?
Yeah, you have to look at someone's record. I mean, someone can promise you the world, and they can say all the right things, and it should mean absolutely nothing, hardly. I mean, someone's record is, you know, what they've been doing the last 30 years or however long that they can. And that's the only way.
Yeah, and when you take a look at the record of each of them, you say, holy, I don't want any of them.
I know, that's why, you know, maybe it's best to focus on Congress. I mean, I think I would like to see a lot more, you know, libertarians and, you know, real progressive liberals that get into the Congress and independents and all different kinds so that there's a good balance of power and, you know, and that everyone can be heard. And
I can give you the solution, the solution to all our problems, but it is so simple. And it doesn't require anybody using 1 second extra of effort than what they normally do. But it will not be done. And that shows how stupid people are. Here's the solution. Everybody goes to the polls, right, around election time to vote for their particular politician, right? Right. So let's say it takes the effort of getting dressed, getting into the car, going to the polling station and pulling a lever. Now, what can we do to right the ills of all the cancer that's being spread throughout America? You have to get rid of every politician in Congress, every single one of them. You can't have a Democrat. You can't have a party. You can't have the House and the Senate just being in control of, let's say, the Libertarians. You can't have just a libertarian president. You have to get rid of all of them. You have to have 435 constitutionally minded people in office. And how you do it? You go to the polls, but instead of voting for the Democrat or Republican who's running, you simply write in a Libertarian or an independent candidate. You don't have to know who he is. He could have been a door catcher. But these people are on your are on the brochures that are sent out by your election committee, and you can take a look at them, and you can say, you know what? This guy may be a school teacher or an optometrist, never have held office before, but he's not a career politician. What he wants is to have a constitutionally driven government. And if we vote out...
So the bigger question is, that's even, like, you know, around that is, you know, getting everyone to agree to do something all at once. And, you know, if you could have everyone do that, then you wouldn't even need to vote. And but I guess if you even had a majority or a significant amount, like every cycle they would notice that, you know, maybe more, it would catch on. There's some other ideas to that, too. I think, like, what if, you know, half of Congress or maybe every other year, or maybe if we just pick people at random, I mean, it'd have to be transparent and or we had one branch, either the Senate or the House, where it's just someone picked at random, and you just have to ensure that it's random. And,
well, that's what I'm saying. You go to the polls, and you don't know, you don't even have to know who the person who's in the independent party, who he is or who she is. You just take a look at the independent party and pick a person at random. Has to be better than a career politician.
Well, I usually do vote for third parties and independents. You know, I have changed my party affiliation twice, and to once to vote for Ron Paul, and this time actually to vote for Bernie Sanders. And so we'll see.
But
I mean,
you know what? He's a socialist. He's an avowed communist. He would turn us into Russia if he could.
No, he would. The things that people are scared about him, like health insurance, and you know, and I'd probably be better than the fascistic Obamacare, and the public school option, which is like, you know, that's, we're talking about like Denmark and France. We're not talking about like Russia or Venezuela. But I mean, he wouldn't be able to even do those. That's the same thing that I was trying to tell people about Ron Paul. People that were scared of his libertarian ideas, he wouldn't be able to accomplish much of that without the Congress. But the things that either of those two could actually make a difference on, that the power of the presidency, that they would have an effect on, would be commander-in-chief. They would be in charge of the military and the foreign policy. They would also be in charge of trade deals. They would also be in charge of the CIA, and that has to do with our privacy and our civil liberties. It also have to be, have something to do with, you know, the war on drugs, and so, and then just transparency and, you know, money in government. So, you know, I think there's a lot more pluses. I mean, if you look at what he's actually capable of doing with the Congress.
Well, that, those are all libertarian values that Ron Paul absolutely have done if he got into office. Bernie Sanders would just use the power of the presidency to he says he wouldn't take any money from corporations, but he's been bought by corporations. That's how he gets reelected. He's a socialist. Now, a socialist means central planning. It means no direct input from the people. The managers take control of everything. They tell you when to get up. They'll tell you what job to have.
Listen, we already have that right now. What he's like, yes, it's a messed up system. I mean, we shouldn't have minimum wage, or we shouldn't have any rules, regulations. I think we could have a public banking system to help the economy, but we could have competing currencies. But the thing is, we already have socialism. There's the military budget, I mean, is $500 billion, half a trillion. But then if you count the stuff that's not in the budget, that's another $500 billion if you count the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which isn't included in the budget, believe it or not. It's about $1 trillion a year. Now, if you look at the total federal government in all different departments, including the military, the amount of federal contracts that go out is $500 billion. Half a trillion dollars every year goes to contracts to people, and that is total. I mean, I'm not saying we can't we don't need some of those contracts, but what I'm saying is that unfairly, or it does unfairly benefit some people over others. It's $500 billion in socialism that we're not focusing on at all. If he substitutes some of that to help some people that are in need, or, you know, I wish we could just opt out of the Obamacare system. I don't think, you know, we should be forced to buy something. Just like we're forced with those contracts, we're being forced to purchase from an insurance company that has a high deductible and that you probably detest, and now you're forced to buy something from Blue Cross Blue Shield or suffer the fine, and then I'm forced with my tax dollars to pay all those contracts. He's just talking about giving some of it back to people, but I don't think he's that dangerous, but maybe he is. Maybe he's a minor threat, maybe he's not, but the main thing is, you know, I agree with you. We need a lot more independents, libertarians, Green parties, third party people that respect the Constitution, and people to get over the Stockholm syndrome. I mean, to look out for their best interests, and instead of voting for, you know, I mean, these politicians aren't your kids. You don't have to feel so, like, you know, like indebted to them. They're not your pets or something, or your kids.
Yeah, they're not our leaders. They, you know, we keep thinking of them as our leaders. They're not our leaders. They're supposed to represent us, but they don't. They represent lobbyists. But you've only got a few minutes left, so I'll let you get back to, you know, I'll let you get back to the show so you can do some final statements. Take care.
Well,
now,
Joe, good to talk with you, and I appreciate, you know, your expression of your principles, and I think ultimately that is the final answer, what you're saying there, and people voting for someone that represents them better. And
they don't even know what it
night.
Is, though. That's the whole thing. People don't know what their own best self-interests are. If they did, they would be voting in.
Well, another thing that could make a change is, you know, sometimes every once in a while, it doesn't happen frequently, but once every 50 years, people do kind of semi-wake up, and they kind of have some reform, and that lasts usually a generation or two. So I think we're pretty due, and it could happen. And so that's one thing. In Australia, they force people to vote. I think, you know, what you're saying is, you know, vote for more independence would actually be the way, not force people to vote. But that would probably make some change.
If you leave people alone, they will vote because they're going to be happy to vote. I don't believe in the forcing people to vote, because that's just giving the government another reason, another precedent to exert more control. Okay, so,
you know, in Nevada, though, when in the Democratic primary, it was Saturday before noon. I mean, how many young people wake up before noon on Saturday? I mean, if you're talking about suppressing the vote, the Republicans suppress the vote, the Democrat caucuses, it was, all the voting was done before noon on Saturday.
But, yeah, I know most of the time, there's not really a hell of a lot percentage-wise of people voting because they've lost faith in government. But I think this time around, there are going to be a hell of a lot of more people voting because they're enthused about Trump and they're enthused about Sanders. So I think more people will come out to vote this particular cycle than in other prior cycles. And that's what happens when you enthuse people. When you give them something to vote for or give them a reason to wake up, they'll get out of bed at noon. But if the status quo is going to remain the same, that people are going to say, what's the use? So,
yeah, and sometimes they're not voting for Trump or Sanders, but they see them as the best vote no against the other candidates also. And well, Joe, we're about 30 seconds, and thanks for tuning in to the Philosophy Show.
All right, so take care. Bye-bye.
All right.